We were crossing the calm sea with Jesus. The disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. But Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed all night, because you held on with all your might. Child, your eyes had a broken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your eyes have a hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. But seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, because you held on with all your might. Child, your eyes have awoken the Master. You're up there worried while he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, 'cause you held on. Because you prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master, and he knows. Have awoken the Master.
Well, the truth of the matter is, this morning, all you have to do is cry out to Jesus. Cry out to him, and he will hear your cry. In the Bible, there's long prayers. For example, there's the model prayer, we call, also known as the Lord's Prayer. But at the same time, there's short prayers in the Bible. Where Peter, when he got his eyes off the Lord, and he saw the winds and the storms, how boisterous they were, and he began to get out of the boat, but once his eyes got off Jesus and got on the environment, He began to sink, and he said, Lord, help. Lord, save me. And this morning, the Lord, he hears long prayers. He hears short prayers. But the truth of the matter is, it's the quality of that prayer. The quality. And I'm glad that on November 19th, 2002, the Lord heard my prayer. And it was the prayer, the cry of salvation. And God saved me, and he began a work in me, and he will continue that work until the day the Lord Jesus returns. And that was right at 20 years ago this November 19th. And so I praise the Lord for saving me. So good to see everybody this morning, and I want to welcome our Facebook viewers as well. Never want to take them for granted. That just widens our listening and viewing audience Sunday in and Sunday out. I wonder if we have any visitors this morning. Any first-time visitors, would you raise your hand? Yeah, we have a gentleman over here. I believe that's Fletcher. Yeah, me and Fletcher, we talked on the phone a couple weeks back. And, of course, we have others visiting with us. This isn't your first time. You were with us a couple weeks ago. So good to have you as well. But anyway, Fletcher's been watching on Facebook. And he is here today in the house of the Lord to watch in person. And Facebook works. Facebook works. It reaches, again, our world, our community. And so if we could have a visitor's card prepared for Fletcher, that'd be great. And whenever the offering comes by, if you'd just put the visitor's card with your name on it and a little bit of information, that'd be great. Just keep a record of your visit. And so we appreciate that. I do want to mention a couple requests this morning, a few actually. It's good to see Brother Dion with us. I know he's been having a pretty rough time, and Miss Elna's been keeping us up to speed on Brother Dion. But Brother Dion is with us this morning, and been through the ringer this week and prior weeks. But in and out of the hospital. So good to see Brother Dion, Miss Elna, and everyone else with our children's home here this morning. Please remember the Sanvies, as Brother Ed is at home. Of course, Miss Marianne, she's away today. But Brother Ed needs our prayers. Miss Marianne needs our prayers. The family needs our prayers. Brother Ed is getting close to, you know, I really don't like making calls like this, but in ministry and life, you see it happening over and over. But Brother Ed is getting close to be with the Lord. And but let's pray that during this process, that God will be glorified and Miss Marianne and family will be strengthened. Those that are helping, Miss Cassie and all would receive strength to continue to help there. Good to see Brother Michael Bendy with us. And Brother Michael spoke to the teens this past Wednesday night. And I heard that was a wonderful, wonderful time. Gave some testimony and just spoke to the hearts of the teens. So we appreciate that, Brother Michael. But let's remember Miss Shauna this morning, as she's been battling some physical ailments. And she's not here today. She is trying to get better. She's resting. So let's lift up the Bendy family and in our prayers. Let's see. Also, we have someone that has returned this morning from Bible College, Christian College, and Brother Kevin Brook. So good to have you with us, and it's your birthday, I hear. So, go ahead. You want to sing happy birthday to Brother Kevin? All right. Happy birthday, Brother Kevin. Why don't you stand up for us, brother?
To you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kevin.
Happy birthday to you.
Amen, amen. Brother Kevin, if you make your way down front, brother, we want to embarrass you real good this morning, and then, of course, have you try to get a spiritual here at the end at the same time. I want to have you take it to the Lord in a word of prayer in just a moment, but so good to have Brother Kevin with us. and Arkansas. Is that right? Out in Arkansas at Champion Christian College. What a blessing it is to have Brother Kevin be able to go there and come back and just on his birthday be back with us at all with all days on his birthday. What a blessing. I do want to say briefly, there will be no deacons meeting this afternoon. We have been trying to align that with our women's CLU Calvary Ladies Union at 3 on the third Wednesday of the third Sunday of every month. And but the ladies, Calvary's Lady Union, will still be at 3 o'clock today. And I invite any ladies and all ladies that would like to attend. And I believe Miss Christie is going to be bringing the devotion at that time. So you don't want to miss that. Thank you. That's in the fellowship hall. Well, there's much more room, and that's downstairs. So 3 o'clock today, ladies, meeting. Remember that. No deacons meeting again. And choir practice at 4, brother, or next Sunday. 4:30 today. Get in some choir practice time. And then service tonight at 5. And so just remember these things. All right. I'm sorry. Is he? Wow. Okay. Brother Jack has had some heart trouble. Several procedures he's had here recently. So we'll remember Brother Jack in our prayers. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen. All right, well, we're here to worship the Lord through music and through the scriptures, and I know God has something he wants to say. But Brother Kevin, if you would, come on around, brother, and just take us to the Lord in prayer. If there's anything you want to say, you can do that as well. So good afternoon.
Well, I'm just super glad to be back home. I mean, that's all I really have to say. Dear Lord, Father, I thank you for today, Father. Father God, I thank you for gathering us here, Father. Father God, I thank you for protecting me at college, Father. Father God, I thank you for bringing me back home. Father God, I thank you for this family here. Father God, I ask that you touch them today. Father God, open up our hearts. Father God, we need you. Father God, you know that I need you, Father. Father God, I thank you for the strength that you've given me. Father God, I thank you for your protection. Father God, I ask that you bless the service. Father God, I ask that you bless those who give to you. Father God, help them. Father God, I thank you for your mercies. I thank you for your kindness. Father God, shape us like your son. I thank you for your graces. Father God, I pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Choir, stand with me. Church, stand with me. And turn over to page number 177. Let's stand together and sing, Are You Washed in the Blood? All right, everyone sing together now. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white and clean? Are you washed in the blood? On the last now, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Be seated as well. Again, so good to see you in the house of the Lord. We're thankful for those that are visiting with us today. Just pray the Lord's blessings on each one, and I hope that you feel at home in the house of the Lord today. We're here to worship, amen? We're here to praise Him, and He's worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship, and now we have an opportunity to praise Him through the gift of giving, and I pray that the Lord's hand will be upon that as well. Let's go to Him again in a word of prayer. Please remember all of these requests. Ladies, please try your best to be here for COU. I know that you'll truly enjoy your time together as well as the devotion from our pastor's wife. And I pray pray that the Lord just be with her as she speaks to you today. It'll be a great, great day here in the house of the Lord today. So let's go to him again in a word of prayer. Ask his blessing. Brother Dion, would you take us, Lord, this morning in a word of prayer?
Lord and the power of his might. Brother Allen, we don't have much might, do we, brother? But appreciate that song this morning. Appreciate music with a message. And appreciate gospel singing, Bible singing. Acts, the book of Acts this morning, chapter number 16. Acts, chapter number 16 is where we're going to be for a few moments. And, Acts 16. And I want to begin reading in just a moment in verse number 16 down through verse number 18. I hope and pray this morning that the message will be a blessing and a help to you in your life as you live for the Lord day by day. And Father, we love you this morning. I pray for the next few moments that you would help us to rightly divide your word. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would use me to be a blessing to your people, to those watching on Facebook. If there's someone here that doesn't know you, I pray that they would be convicted, they would be pricked in the heart, and know they need a Savior. And for the Christian, I pray he or she would be encouraged, challenged, and changed. May we have a closer walk with thee by the time we leave this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Acts chapter number 16. Notice if you would in verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. I'm going to stop reading there in verse number 18. And that's reading out of Acts 16, verse 16, down through verse number 18. I'm going to give you a little background information so we can bring the message in context this morning. We have Paul, Timothy, Luke, and Silas. And they're all here at Philippi at this particular point in Paul's missionary journeys. We know that Timothy was added to the small group in verse number 3. The Bible says him, speaking of Timotheus, him would Paul have to go forth with him. And so Timothy was added. We know that the word us is used a lot in the book of Acts. And we believe that Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. And so, therefore, we have this small missionary group of men trying to touch the world for Jesus. Paul, at least Paul, Timothy, Luke, and Silas are all here at Philippi. Now in verse number 13, they go out of the city of Philippi by a riverside where prayer was made. And we know that this was where Paul met Lydia, this seller of purple, who by being a seller, being a businesswoman, was probably financially well off. The Bible says she invited them to her house. She had a home. And it was by this riverside is where where she got saved. Verse number 13, let's just read it. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, again, we see here that the Lord opened her heart, and so she wasn't even saved until this point when Paul preached the gospel to her. She had a form of religion. And so this is the background information. This is the background setting as to what we have, is that this is when Lydia gets saved. The Bible says in verse 15, and her household as well. And so Lydia, her household gets saved. They all get baptized. And then Lydia has invited Paul and his men back to her house with her family. Probably this would be a time of rejoicing, a time of breaking of bread, a time of even prayer and just thanksgiving for what the Lord had done. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass. Because the next series of events that take place are really a negative thing. Verse number 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And so now they leave Lydia's house and they're on their way to church. They're on their way to pray. We can say they're on their way to church. And as they do, they are met with this damsel. What is a damsel? The word damsel here is a young female slave girl or a young servant girl. So this young female servant slave girl met Paul as he was going to prayer. And let me just say that this damsel created a very big problem for Paul and his men, and the work that God was trying to do. In fact, the scriptures tell us that she followed him many days. She distracted him. She followed him to the point where Paul was grieved within himself. I want you to notice in verse number 16, in the middle portion of that verse, as the Bible describes the kind of spirit she had, it says that a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. The word divination, there's also another word that's used that describes the same kind of spirit, and it's the spirit of Python. The spirit of Python. It has, and it goes back to Greek mythology. That is the spirit of Python. Let me just say something briefly about a python snake. The python snake is, believe it or not, a non-venomous snake. I don't care if he's non-venomous or not. I ain't gonna be touching no python. But the python is a non-venomous snake. It doesn't have or it doesn't carry venom. That's not how it kills its prey. It's not like the rattlesnake. It's not like the adder. It's not like all these other poisonous snakes. A lot of them are in Georgia, so be careful. It's not like those who have fangs in the front that attach itself to you and pumps its venom through its fangs and kills its prey. The python doesn't do that. The python is a constrictor. And so the way that this python kills its prey is by squeezing. This python would wrap itself around an animal. You can do some Googling or some YouTubing, and you can find where pythons in the jungle have actually strangled deers and big animals and actually swallowed. There was actually a report where a python in the jungle of some location had swallowed a person. A python is a constrictor, and it kills its prey by squeezing the very life out of them. And so the more that you struggle with it, it tightens itself and it tightens its grip, almost like a mechanic when it uses a ratchet. It could get that little grip. Brother Dion knows exactly what I'm talking about, being a mechanic. That's how this python works. That's how the constrictor works. It squeezes and it squeezes. And the more you wrestle with it, it squeezes. It's able to get that little grip. You make a move, it makes a move. You make a move, it makes a move. Until it finally suffocates the life out of its prey and then it eats it. Snakes and serpents in the Bible are also a type of the devil. Of course, we know that this goes back to the garden of Adam and Eve when they were in the garden and the tempter came. He was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And we know that the tempter tempted Eve. She ate of the fruit and gave to her husband Adam, and he ate of the fruit. And so this was the original sin. This was the fall of man, the beginning. So snakes and serpents are a type or a picture of the devil in the Bible. And so my point in my introduction is this. The girl was possessed with the spirit of Python or divination or the devil or a satanic spirit, a demon of hell. And it tried to slowly and gradually, day after day, squeeze the very life out of Paul and stop his mission. Wonder this morning if there's been anybody this past week wrestling with the same kind of spirit. The spirit of Python. The situation you've been going through, the devil has been using it as a ratchet to tighten its grip on you. Like a python snake, it would not bite you with venom because it don't have it, but it would constrict you. The situation and the experience you've been going through as of late has been a suffocating experience. It has been strangling you and tightening its grip on you. I want to say that it's nothing more, nothing less than the devil himself and his demonic little minions, as one person put it. This morning, the devil has been using our situations in life, and he loves to use situations in life. He loves to use his squeeze mechanism to get us and to squeeze all of the life out of us, to get us to a point where we're sidetracked and we're distracted and we're spiritually lifeless so that we cannot fulfill God's mission that he has for our life. We cannot live peaceably with all men. We can't work our jobs like we should because of the strangulation effect of the spirit of Python. I wonder if anybody that's here this morning is struggling with something in your life. And the more you try to correct it, the more you try to fix it on and in the means of yourself, the more worse it gets. This morning I want to preach a few moments on that subject, and that is the spirit of Python. The spirit of Python. And I actually want to propose three questions when it comes to this spirit of Python, this little damsel girl that followed Paul and for many days was after him and crying out with a loud voice, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." Now, let me just say this about what she said. What she said was true. But it wasn't for their advantage as it was for his advantage or her advantage. The Bible says in verse number 16, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So she received her powers to tell the future, to prophesy the future, tell the future through the devil and satanic activity." And I want to encourage everyone in here this morning not to deal with soothsayers, not to go to a palm reader, not to go to anybody who says that they can predict the future, because it is all, and listen, you may disagree with me, and you can disagree with me, but it is all empowered by satanic activity. We have in the same aspect of soothsayers and palm readers, necromancers. Necromancers are those who say they can communicate with the dead. These are people who love to play with Ouija boards, and people who love to go into dark places and abandoned houses to try to communicate with evil spirits. You listen to me this morning. You stay away from that. You stay away from fortune tellers. You stay away from soothsayers. You want to know what God has for your future? Look in the Bible. Don't go to the palm reader, because the palm reader is being energized by satanic activity. And someone that says they're communicating with a loved one of yours, they're wrong. What happens is when a person dies, they either go to heaven or hell. There is no middle grounds. There is no purgatory. You can't get prayed out of hell if you're in hell. And so what is it that a person claims they communicate with? They communicate with a satanic appearance of someone. The devil, the Bible says, even transformed himself into an angel of light. The devil can transform himself. And so we're not running that rabbit this morning. But I do want to say this, that this lady, she was a lady who was possessed with the spirit of divination, the spirit of Python. And also she brought much gain to her masters through soothsaying, through telling the future. So when she said, "These are the servants of the Most High God," guess what? She was right. But it wasn't for their advantage, it was for her advantage. So this morning, with that said, I want to preach a few moments on that subject, the spirit of Python. Three questions I want to explore. Number one, when the spirit of Python met Paul. When was it that this spirit of divination actually crossed paths with Paul? Well, notice in verse number 16, it was when they were doing good. Verse 16, the Bible says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer." Went to prayer. This spirit of divination, this spirit of Python came and met Paul when he was doing good. He was on the way to church, and he met with this thing that tried to squeeze the life out of him. Anybody ever been on their way to church? And the devil get on your shoulder and bring up things in your mind that you hadn't even thought about all week. But yet you're on your way to church and you're wrestling and you're struggling with these thoughts that just came in out of nowhere. And I said this many times, and I'll say it again, that I just got to pray in my office before church this morning. Lord, give me a clear head and a calm heart. And I say that because the devil attacks me more than any time of the week on Sunday morning, between the time I get from my house on the other side of 92 to right here in Powder Springs. I'm talking about a 15-minute drive. There is warfare like you would not believe. And so you see, when you go to do good and you're going to church, and not just church, but anything noble, anything that's wholesome and good for your life, any direction you take toward God and doing right, there's times where the spirit of Python will try to squeeze the life out of you. So the Bible says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. So we see, when did the spirit of Python meet Paul? When they were doing good. when they were serving God. Again, I'll say, when you're pursuing all that is good and noble and just, this spirit of strangulation, this spirit of struggle, this spirit that tries to stop you from going any further than you've gone already, tries to capture you, tries to squeeze the life out of you. Now, again, I said in my introduction, but I'll say it much more, that I'll say it again, that the more that you try to stop it, the tighter it gets. There has been countless times during the week where there will be something going on at the schoolhouse, something going on at Christie's job, something going on within the church, something going on within my own endeavors, and I try to figure it out. I try to work it out. I want to be the very best dad I can be, and I want to make sure that my daughter at school is doing well, and I want to make sure she's excelling, and I want to make sure my wife is doing well, and her job is going well. And you see, as a man, we have to conquer. We have to be the hero. We have to achieve. And so many times some of my struggles have to do with what's going on in the schoolhouse, what's going on with Christy's job, what's going on in my own life, what's going on here at the church. And I try to figure it out and rationalize it, and I wrestle with the flesh. And it seems like the more I try to do that, most of the time it wearies me out. I sink under the pressure of trying to be all things to all men. Am I the only person this morning who experiences that? Well, you're trying to do all that you can do with all the hats that you wear in your life, and you wrestle and you pull and you grind and you pray and you beg and you seek God, but yet the struggles and the pressure seems to get tighter and tighter. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants you and me to wrestle him in the power of our own might. What did I pray in the very beginning? I said, Lord, or however it was said, in whatever context it was said, Lord, in the power of your might, not our might, not my might. So I'm either in a hurry and I skip my time in prayer. Lord, I'll get you on the back end. I skip my Bible study and I dive right into circumstances. Try to be this Superman hero that in one day solves all of those issues. And guess what? 99.9% of the time, never happens. They're never solved. But you know what happens? They linger. They linger and they stay there. And I wrestle with them. They linger. Monday comes, they're there. I deal with them on Monday, but on Tuesday when I wake up, I can feel the pressure. I can feel the stress of my breathing, that my problems are still there. They've lingered to Tuesday. Wednesday comes, they're still there. Thursday comes, they're still there. Friday comes, Saturday comes, and God help, Sunday comes, and my problems are still there, and the people of God need a message to hear. You know what that is, don't you, church? That's me trying to solve my problems. That's me trying within my own ability and strength to solve the problems of life. But the problem with that is every time I try it, a little tighter, a little tighter, a little tighter. So Paul's in a situation that he is following Jesus. He is right outside Philippi. Lydia gets saved. God is moving. God is working. And he's talking with his men, and they're on their way to church, and they're doing good. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here's this damsel. Hey, Paul. Paul. Hey, everybody, it's Paul. And his men, the servants of the Most High God. That was on Monday. Tuesday rolls around. Hey, Paul, how you doing, Paul? Hey, everybody, the servants of the Most High God. So Paul is within himself, based upon his own ability to overcome and the things he's learned in his own Christian experience. He has some longevity. He has his own determination God has allowed him to gain, so he ignores it. And he ignores it.
but it's getting tighter and tighter. Wednesday rolls around. This demon-possessed damsel, hey, Paul! Service of the Most High God right here. It's starting to eat at him. Has anybody ever experienced those things that just slowly eat at you? Day in and day out, they eat and they eat and they eat. And you're doing your very best with all the spiritual experience that you have, that you've learned in your time being saved, to hush the mouth of the enemy. And it's just not working. Eating and eating and eating. Thursday rolls around. Hey, Paul, it's me again. Hey, you serving the Most High God. You see the picture here? It's a daily eating away at Paul. What she's saying is true, but it's not to his benefit, but it's for the benefit of the devil to eat Paul, to eat away at Paul and to get at him. So we see that this is taking place in the life of Paul. The spirit of Python began to go after him when he was doing good. And let me say, I cannot save the source to deal with this at the very end. I have to say it now, but continue to do good. Continue to pursue Christ. Continue to go after all the things that are wholesome and noble and true. Go after those things. But be rest assured, you will experience some struggle. And the pressures of life will try to wrap itself around you. And the devil will try to squeeze the very life out of you. But always, always recognize you are no match for him. You are no match for him. But Jesus is the overcomer. Jesus is the one who defeated the devil. He's the one who defeated the grave. He's the one who defeated everything in this life. He's the one who has created us. He's the one who saves us. He's the one who sustains us. So why in the world will we ever try to get this python off of our neck with all of the anxiety and all the fear and all the dread that comes up in our life? How dare us even try? We are no match, but Jesus is a match. He's the one that can take care of him. He's the one that's defeated old Slewfoot. And he's the one who told us in the book of Revelation at the very end that the devil, that old serpent, he will be cast in his own lake of fire one day. Praise the Lord this morning that we don't have to face him on our own. Good preaching, brother. Spirit of Python, some of you this morning, it's a good time to do this. I don't like tithes anyway. Some of you this morning are trying to get off of here. Every time you do it, he goes, tithe. Oh, Brother Justin, it's about to kill me. Oh, my marriage, Brother Justin. I've tried to be a good husband. I've tried to correct my marriage. It's about to kill me. Brother Justin, I'm a dad. I'm trying to be the best dad I can be. It's about to kill me. What you need to do is recognize you're no match for this python. Recognize who he is, Jesus. Allow Jesus to take that old stinking python off your neck. And if you hang up that python in your life as a symbol of something that God can do, God can take care of that python. It's time this morning to take off the pythons from around your neck and allow Jesus to fight him for us. Whew, you see, life is so much better without pythons around the neck. You know what I'm saying? I like what Brother Don Nettle said. He said, I believe you said it this way, brother. Whoever invented these ties was to kill the preacher, something like that. Why in the world they want to kill the preacher? I don't know. Brother Harold's up here setting the standard. He ain't got a tie on. But anyway, I like to look my best. But that old python, it tries to, you wake up, you have to go to work. And you have that problem at work, and you're thinking about it. There it goes. That's his first circle. You missed your quiet time with Jesus. You didn't read at least one verse, and now it's going the other way. Here comes lunchtime. You're still thinking about it. Here comes. It's time to get off work. Guess what? You ain't got no time to roll around in your misery because you're going home to a house full of family. You got to learn how to get that. place. In Acts, the Bible says that he stuck his hand, or he was around a fire, and there a venomous viper jumped out and attached itself to Paul's hand. You know what he did? The Bible says he shook it off. He shook it off. I want to say that's easy preached. Brother Henderson, that's hard to live.
Amen, brother.
Paul shook it off. And Paul rebuked this evil spirit. Listen, we know what to do, but it's hard to do it. Paul shook off that viper. Somebody this morning, you've been trying to shake the enemy off of your marriage, off of your finances, off your life, out of your any situation across the board. You've been trying to shake it off and it's not happening. Why don't you go in the strength of the Lord Jesus and shake it off? Why don't you allow him to shake it off? He can shake off those things that are poisonous. God can shake off the things in our life that try to attach itself to us, that are toxic, that tries to kill us with venom. And God can also unloosen this old spirit of divination. He can release the pull. He can release the squeeze of that python. And he can hang it for a testimony one day in your life so you don't have to wrestle with it anymore. When the spirit of Python met Paul, it was when he was doing good. I challenge you to keep on doing good. I challenge you to keep on coming to church. I challenge you to keep on reading your Bible and praying. And we need to. We need to read our Bible. We need to pray. This isn't a religious rite, R-I-T-E, that we do when we read our Bible and when we pray. We don't do it to say that we've done it. We do it to receive strength. We do it so that we can stand in the power of his might. Do good, but don't forget to pray. Do good, but don't forget to spend time with God. And so, when the spirit of Python met Paul, it was when they were doing good. Now, let me mention something else. I kind of tippy-toed into it, but I want to mention it. What happened when they did good? Or when good happened, what happened? Well, when they were on their way to do good, they were going to pray. They were met with the spirit of divination. But even after they did good, the spirit of divination met them. Now, verse number 14 and 15, these are closely connected, but there's a little difference. Lydia got saved. Her household got saved. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass, after God did great things for Lydia in her house, and it came to pass, finally, this spirit of divination, this spirit of Python met them. What are you saying, Brother Justin? I'm just saying that when we go to do good, we'll be met with this Python, this spirit of Python. But also after we do good, before we do good, we'll meet with it. After we do good, we'll meet with it. But I want you to listen, just hear something. This is what I want you to hear. After they left Lydia's, the spirit of Python came and met them, trying to strangle the life out of Paul and his men. And I believe there is an attempt here, this is just what I believe, that the spirit of Python was trying to overshadow what God had just done. This damsel with this spirit wanted, in the satanic activity, this demon on the inside wanted to harass Paul so much that he forgot about what God could do. Somebody this morning is fighting the devil and all the demons of hell, and you are in such a low place, you have or almost got to the place where you have forgotten what God can do. God just saved the woman in her household. And so while Paul is struggling with this python, this terrible spirit of strangulation, the attempt from the devil is to overshadow what God had just done. Don't allow your circumstances, your situations to overshadow. Don't allow the enemy to overshadow because of how difficult things are for you in your life. Don't allow that to overshadow what God has done in your life. God gave his best for the worst, what would God not do for us? If he saved me, if he saved you, and gave his darling son to hang upon a cross and die for a wicked people, if he did that, surely he could help me in my marriage. If he did that, surely, Brother Harold, he could help me in my finances. Surely he could help me be the dad I need to be. Surely he could help me be the pastor I need to be. If God died for me and gave me his best, I'm not going to allow the devil to overshadow, because of the pain and difficulty of what I'm going through, to step out what God has done. God can do it again. I said last Sunday, I'm coming up with so many phrases as I serve the Lord, as I'm your pastor, the preaching. Maybe one day I'll have them all on my tombstone. Make a note of that, Christy. By foot or belly, I'm going to finish. That's one of my new phrases. I know it's been said in different ways, but that's my phrase. There's times where I feel like I'm army crawling. But you know what? I'm not going to stop army crawling. There's times where I feel like I'm running for Jesus, just skipping through the prairie field, you know, high-stepping over the daisies. And there's times where I'm on my belly, and I'm crawling and begging. By foot or belly, I'm going to finish. And so, that may be you this morning. You may be on your belly. You may be saying, I'm getting ready to just give up. Let me remind us this morning. Somebody said one time, I'm just going to throw in the towel. But you know, that's a boxer's term in the sport of boxing. And the term has been taken because the manager throws in the towel. Quit! It's enough! Stop! I guess in football there's flag plays when the referee's throwing the flag. Time out! You may want to throw in the towel, but I don't think Jesus. So my word of motivation and encouragement to you is, keep on going. We all experience struggles. I'm not going to say we're all on the same level. Some in here have experienced death of a loved one as of late. Some has experienced cancer in times past. Some have walked in this church this morning in physical pain. And just because you see people smiling doesn't mean everything's okay. Everybody has their own struggles, but in different ways, on different levels. Amen. And my word to you is, you can't throw in the towel. Because God's our boss. He's our trainer. He's the one in charge, and he's not going to throw in the towel. But I'll tell you what he will do. If I could just use a Rocky movie, for example. I'm an 80s kid. Okay? Rocky was one of my favorites. One movie, Rocky was down, and he was bloody, and Mickey comes to the rescue. Mickey gets down on the floor and says, get up! Get up! Why are you down? You want to quit? You can't quit. You got to get up! I'll tell you why you need to get up. Because Mickey loves you. Anybody remember that? Of course, I left a choice for a few words out of that. But get up, because Mickey loves you. You don't even have to get up because you love you. You get up because I love you. You don't have to get up this morning because, listen, you don't even have to love yourself this morning in order to get up. You may be experiencing a time of self-hate, and I challenge you to get out of that. But if no other reason this morning, you get up because Jesus loves you. You get up because your family loves you. And then maybe one day when you get up and you've learned how to deal with the spirit of Python, you can start to cultivate a love for yourself again. And then you can love others. And then you can minister to the saints. And you can be that family person you need to be. That employee on the job But this morning, get up because Jesus loves you. So we see that the spirit of Python came when they were doing good, but after they did good, it tried to stamp out. It tried to stamp out what God had done, and that was save souls previously. Now, let me mention this. Not only the first question I propose was, when did the spirit of Python meet Paul? But secondly, and we ain't going to preach this out for an hour, but secondly, what the spirit of Python actually do to Paul? What actually happened? Verse number 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. But it was many days. It wasn't just one bad day with her. With it. It was many days. And again, no doubt Paul was leaning on his own characteristics that God had created in him through times of suffering. He was determined not to let this thing get at him. He had experience. I mean, listen, Paul was stoned and left outside of Lystra to die. Paul was shipwrecked and abandoned and received stripes, and he was beaten. All of these things. He knew what it was like to not have food to eat. He knew what it was like to starve and be naked and be going through a time of great peril. And so he had past experiences. But I want to tell you, there's times in life when even past experiences cannot move you ahead. Because it got Paul through a little while, but then the Bible says, and this did she many days, but Paul being grieved. Now the word grieved here, you say, what's that mean? The word grieved. Well, the word grieved here, it means to exert oneself. It means to manage with pain. It means to be thoroughly worn out with annoyance. And so Paul had plenty of experience in life of suffering and tragedy. But after many days, he was grieved. It got to him. Listen, the devil knows how to get to you. Doesn't matter how much experience, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how many battles you've won, definitely knows how to get to me. And what he'll do is he will continue, day after day, grinding and squeezing and pressing until you get to that place where your experience runs out. And the question is this morning, what are you going to do when your experience runs out? That's a good sermon title all in itself. What are you going to do when your experience runs out? I mean, look, we're of all ages this morning in this room. All ages, from the youngest, maybe Zoe, I guess, to the very oldest. All right, we ain't going to mention that one, all right? All levels of experience this morning. But as long as you're alive, there is going to come a day, and listen, we're just stating facts. We're not wishing nothing on nobody. We're just preaching this morning. There's going to come a day, if not already, where you say, Brother Justin, I don't know what to do. I mean, I know the Bible says, you know, Jesus wants me to come to him and go with his might, but I've just never been here before. And the wrestle becomes real, just in a new light. There's a new squeeze in your life. Well, number two, what actually happened, or what the spirit of Python actually did to Paul was it got to him outside of his experience. And it was going in for the kill. Many days. He was grieved. He was wore out. So finally, you say, what did Paul do? That leads me to my third question, and we're done. How did Paul deal with it? This is what I've been wanting to say the whole message. Verse number 18, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. How did Paul deal with the spirit of Python? Paul recognized the source for his solution. He was grieved. He said, in the name of Jesus, he came at this horrible situation, not in his name, not in Silas' name, not in Timothy's name, not in Luke's name, but he came in Jesus' name. He came in the name above all names, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. James chapter number 4, I'll give it to you. They want to come in just a moment, whenever you're ready. James chapter number 4, verse number 7 says this, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's easy preaching, isn't it? Hard living. The word submit here in James 4, 7 means to arrange oneself under God. To situate yourself under him, to surrender. You know, now you don't have to watch the show because it's on every news channel every morning, noon, and night. About cops going after people. This one got shot and killed. This one got raped. This one got murdered. You don't have to watch the series, Cops. It's on the news every day. But they'll go in, they'll serve a warrant. Cops will have their guns drawn. Let a PD open up. Task force. Show me your hands. See, I told Josh I could be a cop. Brother Allen knows what I mean.
You're hired.
How about that? How about that? I guess
I'll be Barney.
You can be Andy. I wouldn't let that on you. You're old. And so the object would be is for surrender of the criminal. Come out like this. I come peacefully. You got me. See, those fugitives, man, they try to run, they try to hide, they stay gone, they change their hair color, they grow hair, they change clothes, move across states, trying to escape their situation. Sometimes we're spiritual fugitives, you know? Sometimes we try to change our circumstance by moving or joining a different church or coming here, coming there. We try to turn over a new leaf, try to get new hobbies, thinking that will help our situation. And those things help to a degree. But this is what helps the situation. If I say, Lord, I've tried too many things, and even in my new things, the devil's trying to squeeze the life out of me. I come out with my hands up. I surrender. He's no match for me. Lord Jesus, you say in James 4, 7, if I submit myself to you, resist the devil, he will flee. That word resist means to withstand. Withstand. Ephesians says, Paul speaking, and having done all, to stand. That's the ultimate call. Sometimes we're running, sometimes we're walking, but the call is to be able to just, after the smoke settles and everything's over, to be a Christian that's still standing. Said, I've been through some stuff. I've faced some battles. The devil's tried to kill me, but I'm still standing because I've crawled into my secret place and I've asked God to be my helper, and he has every time. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word flee means to run away or vanish. Let me say this. Yeah, I'm totally done.
Jesus was tempted in the garden. And after the temptations were ended, of course, Jesus used scripture three times. It is written. It is written. It is written. The Bible says that the devil leaveth him for a season. And the angels came to minister unto him. The devil will flee. Just remember what you've learned, because he'll be back. And then we'll deal with him again. But he will flee in Jesus' name. And then we apply that experience to the next time. And we can be people who overcome the spirit of Python. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you today. I pray that you use the message to be a blessing during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come and pray.